I got something I want to minister on, but I did ask a friend of mine, after hearing her strong prophetic word, I'm sure you would agree with me, Kirsten, through the Holy Ghost. Just actually, she got a lot of reviews from our fathers in the faith. I mean, a lot of good reviews. Barry Johnson, Nigel, I talked to Gary about it. Nathan texted that he, but it was powerful. And it was powerful because it was the Holy Ghost. So you can't go wrong when the Holy Ghost is giving us the mind of Christ. So I asked Kirsten to come up today before I ministered to just share for a moment, you know, what's on her heart. And we talked yesterday? We talked yesterday, and you'll almost be in awe of what we talked about for about 15 minutes, almost line upon line, sharing scripture with each other on what the Holy Ghost had been laying in our hearts. So I got something a little different for you. Really, Romans 6, but going a little deeper into Romans 6, and maybe we'll touch a little bit of 1 John. But anyway, I'll go into that in a little bit. But I've asked Kirsten to come up and to share for a moment just her heart. Amen? Come on up, Kirsten. Okay, sit me down.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, that holy song. You guys played that. That was just gone. Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you so much for your love. Homer hit the nail on the right on the head when he said no distractions. That's what this gospel is. Father, we don't want any distractions. Not in any way, shape, or form. Teach us your ways. Teach us to walk like you walked. You walked with no distraction, with a single eye, God. You walked with a single eye on your mission. We thank you, Father, that we have that same mind in us that was in you. We thank you that we consider not ourselves, but we consider Jesus and what he went through. We thank you for who you've made us. We thank you, Father, for the grace as we humble ourselves in every moment of our lives and yield to you, that you come with a grace that empowers us to go forward. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your fire that flows through our veins, that we burn for you every moment of the day that we lay upon the altar. We put ourselves up there, God, in every moment, whether we're at home with our families, we put ourselves on the altar, whether it's not leaving the extra dish in the sink or whether it's in line in the grocery store, we put ourselves on the altar. This is a selfless gospel, God. Teach us your ways. Teach us how to be like you. Thank you, Father. See, he renewed us, and he made us new. We're brand new creatures. He breathed his life into us. We didn't just get saved to go to heaven. Heaven is the destination. The mission is here. The mission is here. The mission is people. See, way back in the garden when he made Adam and Eve, he made them in his image, in his image, in his likeness. He gave them love of his image. They were his, born of his seed. He breathed his life into them. And he gave them dominion. And he told them to bear fruit and multiply that same image in the earth. Now we all know the story, and after they fell, that image was lost. But it's not lost anymore, my friend. It is not lost anymore. That image, if you have received Christ, that image is on the inside of you. That perfect image is on the inside of you, screaming, come after me. Find me. Lay down yourself. I have so much for you. I need you. See, the church is not our church necessarily, but the church at large is at such a fault for thinking that this is a self-serving gospel, that we're in this to get ours, that we're in this to see what blessings God can give us. And while, yes, God is our Father and He takes care of us, that is not what this is about. Jesus said, if you don't hate your mother or brother. Now, He didn't mean actually hate. He obviously meant if you don't love less. If you don't love less, everything else in your life, everything, you can't be my disciple. But see, we can't even do that. We're not even capable of doing that. Homer touched on Romans 6, if we don't know who we are. How can you keep a single eye focused on God and lay everything down if you don't even know who you are? See, God said, seek ye first my kingdom and my righteousness. But you can't seek righteousness if you don't know that you've been made a good tree, that His life is in you. That even if you make a mistake, that you go to 1 John 1:9 and you repent, that you just live a life of conviction, not condemnation, conviction. And He's faithful and just, but you keep going. You never identify with the old man. Jesus said, if you look back, you're not fit for the kingdom. If you look back, you're not fit for the kingdom. Paul said, one thing do I do. I forget the things that lie behind and I press on towards the mark of Christ that I might win Christ, he said. But he knew who he was and he kept a single focus. See, every distraction, see, the devil is walking around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But what if he runs into another lion? What if he runs into the lion of the tribe of Judah that's on the inside of you? What if every time, like he said, taking every thought into captivity into the obedience of Christ, casting it down? What if every time he roared, you roared right back? And you kept a single eye focus on the mission. What would the church look like? What would it look like? My God, we're so far from it. Every day I keep saying, God, make me who you are. Make me who you were. None of this means anything. This means nothing. If I can't be and live and walk and talk like you and manifest you, I am on this earth for one purpose and one purpose alone, and that's to manifest Christ, to manifest the glory of God in every single thing that I do, in every single way. Jesus, teach us that, God. But see, we can't want that if we're not in love with Him, if we don't know what He did for us, the price He paid. See, Homer said, we were lost, but now we're found. We were blind, but now we see. We're full of His hope. We're full of life. See, when you know, when you're so in love, the word says, my commandments are not grievous. They're not hard. It's not a burden. It's not a burden to seek righteousness. Are you kidding me? We talk about dying daily. We have no clue what dying daily really is. We think dying daily is we turn off our TV for an hour early. And we open our Bible for maybe 30 minutes. Now, I'm not condemning anybody if you do that. That's great. We have to start somewhere. But if we think that that's dying, we are way far from the gospel. We are way far from the gospel, if that's what we think. The disciples were getting their heads chopped off. They were getting boiled alive in oil and living because they were willing to be living sacrifices. See, it's not a burden. It's not a burden, it's an honor. It's a privilege when you're in love with the King. When you're in love with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, it's an honor. I consider it an honor to spend my time in worship, to spend my time seeking after Him, after His truth. There's nothing here. Peter said, where else could we go? For you alone have the words of life. There's nowhere else to go. There's nothing else to do. Why are we even here? We're saying that we're going to church, that we love God. We're not even dying. And dying is not something we're trying to chase after miracles or chase after the fruit. No. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom and righteousness. And all these things will be added. What things? The fruit of the Spirit, the miracles, the revival. That's not what we're supposed to be seeking. We're supposed to seek His face to know Him. We're supposed to know Him, know who we are, and step out and manifest Him simultaneously. We've been declared dead. We've died with Christ, and we were risen with him. We're seated with him in heavenly places, and he gave us the authority to go. Hallelujah. So, sorry guys, I'm not really. Okay, I get so shaky up here. This is not really my specialty. I just want to live it in the world. Anyways, like I shared with Homer yesterday a little bit, I said I just had a little something to share. That's a little bit of what's on my heart lately, but yeah, I guess you could call it a testimony, but it's not really a testimony, but I'll use it as an example to a follow-up of the prophecy on Sunday that God gave me. See, God could speak through a donkey. That doesn't mean anything. The prophecy doesn't mean anything. When Pastor stands up here, Pastor knows, Homer knows, it doesn't mean anything. Enticing words of man's wisdom or even a prophecy from God, it doesn't mean anything if we have not love. And if we go out and we lay hands on the sick and we see thousands recover in wheelchairs, it still doesn't mean anything. Instead, if you could give your body to be burned, if you have not love, it profits nothing. You're missing the point. It's about people. And even if we get over ourselves and start going to another level and start praying for people, it's still about people. It's not about a notch on our belt and our testimonies. Anyways, God is so good, so faithful. I was driving the other day, and I'm just in awe, like, just in awe of God and how he works. Just crying and praying and worshiping. I had to go to Whole Foods in Naples, and I was driving down there by myself. About 40 minutes takes me to get there. And I'm just driving and worshiping and praying like we all do. And I'm sure everybody has testimonies like this. I would hope so, because we're Christians, and we should. If not, we might want to take a second look at our lives. I don't mean to say that in a rude way. I'm talking to myself, like Pastor says, I'm right on the front row, because I just want to be like him. So anyways, I'm praying and worshiping. This was after that prophecy on Sunday. I'm driving and just saying, God, help me to be walk worthy of the vocation that you called me. Help me to shine your light everywhere I go. Let me live this, God. Let me live this. Show me how to live this. Teach me how to live this. If you want me to say something, I'll say something. If you want me to just be bold, I know that we're supposed to say stuff to everybody. We don't. Yes, the Holy Spirit moves on us, but we're also supposed to say stuff to everybody. So I'm praying. I'm driving down the car. Homer had called me, and he had asked me if I would speak a little bit here. And I said, sure, no problem. Kept praying, kept driving. Got to Whole Foods. Just kind of shopping. See, we're not supposed to be aware of ourselves. It's a selfless gospel. And the more you fall in love with Jesus, the more you realize that it's a selfless gospel. And the more you're aware and you're staying in communion with the Holy Spirit all day long, you're not thinking about yourself. Yes, you have things to do. We all have lives to live. But you're keeping a constant awareness of everything around you, always being available for what as the Holy Spirit leads, or even as you see. That's our commission in the earth. If we see darkness, run up and be the light in the darkness. If you see the darkness, run up and be the light. You're the light. Don't run from the darkness. You're the light. So anyways, I'm in there shopping, getting my things real quick, and praying, God, help me to be bold. Help me to just say, Jesus loves you. And I've been practicing this for a couple months. Mom has too. We've been practicing everywhere we go, whether it's the cashier or anybody. Just practicing boldness, practicing our faith, just stepping out, just saying, you know, Jesus loves you so much. I hope you know he thinks you're so valuable. And he paid a great price for you. And that's it. Just looking right in their eyes. See, the eye is the lamp of the body. If the eye is single and you have a single focus on God, the whole body is full of light. They can see that. You don't even have to say anything. They can see that. They feel if you spent time with the Father face to face, when you come back, that your face is shining with the glory of the Father. They see that. You don't even have to say a word. You don't have to try to strong arm people to get them saved. You're planting seeds. We're professional seed sowers. The kingdom is as a man sows seed. Anyway, so I'm walking through and trying to see if there's anybody I can just walk up and talk to, and it didn't really look like there was anybody, and I was kind of almost getting frustrated, like, God, I really wanted to practice this. Like, what's going on here? So I just kept kind of praying. I got in line. All of a sudden, a gentleman about 30 years old walks up behind me, and there's about four people in line in front of me. He walks up and randomly taps me on the shoulder from behind, He was handicapped. He clearly had scars on his face. He had a real severe speech impediment. And he just said, in his voice, as you could imagine, he said, "I like your hair." My heart broke right there. I was just like, "God, what do you say? What do you say?" So I said, "Oh, thank you so much." And he said, "Hi, my name is John." I said, "Hi, John, I'm Kirsten." And I put my hand out to shake his hand. "Nice to meet you." He said, "You know, I used to be normal." He goes, "If I was still like that, would you go on a date with me?" I said, "Oh, sure, just trying to be nice. What are you going to say? You know, the guy's handicapped." And so I'm like, "Oh, okay." And he goes, no, really." He pulls out his wallet. He goes, "I was a Marine." He goes, "I was a Marine, and I was in Iraq. And we were actually riding motorcycles. We were off duty, and I got in an accident. And I died and saw God." Why he tells me this, I don't know. He just walks up and starts telling me this. And I said, "Wow, my God." I said, "That's crazy." I said, "Thank you so much for your service." So he goes, he's like, "Okay, well," and he shows me his picture. I said, "Wow, that's amazing." He goes to walk away. He goes, "Okay, well, I won't bug you anymore." So he starts to walk away. Now, there's four people in line, more people behind me, a lady wanting to go. He starts to walk away. I leave my cart and I walk over to him and I say, wait, come back here. I said, "I have to tell you something." I said, "God wants you to know that he loves you so, so much." And he goes, "Oh, I know, but this was God's will. I think God had a plan." I said, no, this is God's will. And I said, "Can I just pray for you for 5 seconds? I said, "I'm not trying to be weird." I said, "I'm just a Christian." I said, "I'm not trying to be weird. I'll just pray for you for 5 seconds." And in 5 seconds, a quick little almost prophetic prayer came over me, restoring everything and clearing things up in his mind. "Father, I thank you for complete restoration from his head to his feet. I thank you, Father, that everything Satan meant for evil in his life, that you'll turn and use for good." And clarifying everything, "I thank you, God, that you have plans for him for a hope and a future." And just real quick, complete restoration in Jesus' name. And he said, "Okay, well, what church do you go to?" I said, "Oh, the Family Prayer Center in Mockley." He said, "Oh, wow, okay, I go to Living Waters." He goes, "Well, I really appreciate that prayer. I really appreciate it." I said, "Absolutely." I said, "I expect to see you healed." He goes, "Well, when I'm healed, I'll take you on a date." I said, "Absolutely." I said, "I will see you again." So, gets way crazier. So the next day, so I go to check out. And I don't mean to take up so much time, guys. I'm sorry. It's kind of a little bit of a story. I go to check out. Meanwhile, it starts pouring rain. I'm singing, just gone in the spirit. Like, I walked out the doors and I was just bawling like a baby. Like, "God, you're using me. Just use me. This is what it's about. It doesn't matter whether there was a miracle right now or not. I will get there eventually. That doesn't matter. What matters is sowing seeds and learning to be bold." So I start praying and I was putting my stuff in the car. I'm driving down 41. It's pouring rain. Mom texts me, "Hey, can you stop in Vitamin Shop? I forgot something." I said, "Sure." So I go in there real quick, 2 seconds. "What is it? Jesus loves you," to the guy in there, but I already told him last time I was in there. So I'm like, all right, let me not be a total crazy person for a second. And then I came back out, still raining, get in the car, driving down 41. I get to about Briarcliff. Y'all know where that's at, most of you, over where Bonefish Grill Plaza is. It was raining really hard. It was storming really hard. This was the day before 4th of July. And about 30 seconds before I got to the light, there was a four-car head-on collision at that light. The paramedics hadn't even got there yet. The EMTs hadn't even got there yet. There was about 20 people standing all in the road, standing all around, trying to direct traffic. It was at 6 o'clock at night in rush hour. I was like four cars back, and everybody started to go, and we had to go around the accident, and the fire truck was coming right at the same time. I don't know what came over me, but it was like, you know, we go by accidents and we pray. We send a prayer up to God sometimes, and sometimes it's more than others, and we listen to our spirit of the severity. I just felt instantly impressed. I almost instantly, I don't want to say intercession, but very serious, felt very serious, like, I need to pray. This is not good. And I just found myself on autopilot, pulled right into the parking lot, facing about 50 feet away from this accident. And I just find myself sitting there, and I had my windows down. It was pouring rain. And I had my arm out the window and I was just speaking life and commanding life for about 20 minutes. This person was stuck in the car. The EMTs could not get him out. The fire people could not get him out. They're trying to get him out. I don't know if he's dead or alive. There's people standing around everywhere. I'm commanding life. Life be in Jesus' name. Life be. You will live and not die. If you don't know the Father, I thank you, God, that you're making yourself known to him right now. And anything I can think of that I know that we've been taught that was coming to my spirit, I was doing everything I could to stop what I'm doing to do that. Meanwhile, another lady about 70 years old pulls in the parking lot being an onlooker. She pulls up next to me. I'm standing there praying like a mad woman, like just gone in the zone. Just like, God, like somebody's like, I'm standing here interceding for these people, hoping they don't die. And this woman, she pulls up being an onlooker. She's about 70 years old. She gets out of her car. I was sitting there for, she probably stood there. She stood at the edge of the parking lot. She could clearly see me. She looked at me a few times, looked at me crazy, because she could hear me and I wasn't stopping. I wasn't stopping for anybody. These people needed something and I had the light and I had what they needed. So I'm standing there and she sees me. She stood there for about 15 minutes listening to me pray, just being an onlooker. Finally, she walks over to my car, angry, with an agenda. They're still trying to get the guy out of the car. And she walks over to my car and she's like, I don't know who you think you are and I don't know what you're doing. She's like, but it's not gonna work, is what she tells me. She goes, it's not gonna work. She goes, who are you? I said, ma'am, I'm just a Christian and I saw this accident and I have a responsibility to stand here and pray. And she's like, well, I don't believe in God. She proceeds to start preaching at me with this anger. She was a blatant atheist. She goes, I don't believe in God. I used to believe in God. I don't believe in him anymore. She goes, I've had nothing but bad luck in my life. As she starts saying all of these things. She goes, you know what? She starts preaching to me. I just kind of sat there quietly. I'm trying to look past her a little bit. I'm praying under my breath for this accident. And she just said, she goes, the only thing you have in this life is your health, is what she tells me. And I said, okay. I said, I completely agree that that's a very important thing. I said, as a matter of fact, and I said, that used to be my field of work. I said, was nutrition. And I said, so that's something that she goes, because you need to spend, that's all you have in this life. She goes, you're young. You'll see. You don't know what you're talking about. And I said, okay. I said, well, okay. And I'm just like listening to her for a minute, just kind of rant. And I rolled down my back windows and I had about 6 Whole Foods bags back there. And I just said to her, I pointed to those bags and I just said, I completely agree with you about health. I said, that's very important. That's something we should steward our bodies, take care of ourselves. I said, absolutely. I spend a lot of time with that. I rolled my window down and I said, you see those bags? I just came from Whole Foods. And I very nicely, lovingly, and I'm not about to argue with this lady. I'm here to be a light. So I just said, I completely agree. And I said, but you know what? All the knowledge that you have, and everything that I know, I said, I pointed to those bags and then I pointed to that accident. I said, nothing's gonna help those people in that accident. I said, these vitamins, these health foods, all these things that you know, I said, it's not gonna help that person in that accident. I said, Jesus is the only thing that's gonna help that person in that accident. So she's like, well, I just don't believe in that. She goes, you're just wasting your life. And I said, okay. I said, well, I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. I said, because you could put a gun to my head right now and you could tell me to deny it. I'm not going to deny. I've seen too much. I know too much. I have a relationship with God myself. I said, I know the Father. I said, and that was not his will. And I said, and I'm here to bring healing to that situation the best that I can. I said, to represent Jesus, to be a Christian. And she's like, well, I don't really know God. Again, she says it. And she's like, I don't really care either. And I just said, okay. I said, well, do me a favor. I said, I'm not here to change your mind. I'm here to pray for those people. I said, but I just want you to know. I said, what's your name? She tells me her name. I reached my hand out, introduced myself to her. And I said, it's nice to meet you. And I said, I looked her right in the eyes and I just said, I hope you know whether you believe it or not, Jesus loves you so much. And I said, and he died for you whether you believe it or not, whether you like it or not. And I said, you know, just like this boldness, and that's not normally me. I'm normally pretty shy and quiet. And so anyways, so she proceeds to just say, well, we'll see. And I said, look, I said, do me a favor. I said, just try to call out to God. I said, I'll pray for you. I'll be praying that God makes himself manifest in you. I said, do you want me to pray for you? And she said, no, don't pray for me. And I said, okay, no, that's fine. I said, like I said, I'm not here to change your mind. I said, but just know that God loves you and that this whole thing I'm like, that you meeting me here, I said, proves right now, I said, that God is alive. So anyway, so she just kind of all mad, didn't know what to say. She walks away. I continue praying for the accident for a few more minutes, and I drive home. Moral of the story is it's not anything major that happened. It's just that it's the interruptions of our day that we need to allow the Holy Spirit, that we need to yield to. It's that we need to have a single eye focus and not be distracted. That we need to be able to yield. And more and more and more, we're saying, God, that's our heart. Let us everywhere we go yield to you, whether it's an inconvenience or it's not an inconvenience. There's people everywhere. See, she was groaning. It says the earth is groaning for the manifestations of the Son of God to take their place. See, she was groaning. People aren't angry. They're angry, but they're really groaning for God, for somebody to show them God, saying, show me God. Show me God. Somebody show me God. I need to know him. Where is God really real? Somebody show me, is what they're saying. So that's the cry of our heart. See, the more we step out and the more we yield, I'm starting to see, the more you almost are willing to step out and be made fools for Christ, like it says in the word. It's like almost like they start being drawn to you like moths to a flame. There's so many things, places that we've gone to that people just start coming up to us. They start saying random things and you're like, how would you know that? And we just pray for them right there in the aisle of the grocery store. Or say, Jesus loves you to somebody and that person's about to have life-changing surgery the next day. And we didn't know that, but we said Jesus loves you, and then we ended up praying for them. I mean, there's so many things. You have no idea the responsibility that we have and the privilege that we have to carry this light. People need us, guys. So anyways, without that, I won't take up any more time, but I'm just saying, God, make this real to all of us. Make it real to all of us. Let us know who we are so we can live with no distractions. In Jesus' name.
That, my friends, is the gospel of the kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. That's been my heart cry for maybe the last week or two. I wake up and I confess it when I'm awake, and then when I go to sleep, it just rolls over my spirit. And it's this, basically what she's saying, but just different terminology. Father, I'm here to reveal you. I have no other agenda but to reveal you. And I say it, I don't know, 50, 100, 200 times a day, just saturating my emotions, just saturating my soul. I'm here to reveal you. That's the simplicity of the gospel. That's the simplicity of the gospel, revealing him. And I'll say this, he cannot and will not be revealed unless we come to a comprehension. Well, not even a comprehension. I was sitting at my desk, and I won't be long with you, sitting at my desk, going through Romans 6, I guess about 4 or 5 days ago, give or take a little bit, and Nathan calls me, Nathan Barber from Tulsa, and I had gotten away from Romans 6, 7, and 8, because I've been preaching it for a long time. And then surely I said, well, the people probably, they want nothing to do with it. They probably say, well, we're past that level. That was just me talking to myself. And Nathan said, what you reading? I said, oh, Romans 6. And then he began to tell me, have you heard any of my teachings lately? I said, no, I haven't. He said, I'm preaching Romans 6 again. He started, and so is Gary. We're tearing it up again. He said, will you go back 3 weeks and hear Romans 6 and tell me what you think? I said, oh, I sure will. And I tell you what, man. I completely believe if there's no comprehension or understanding of Romans 6, we're going to have a hard time obeying kingdom principles. It's going to be extremely hard to obey kingdom principles because you are not what you used to be. You are not. Let me establish something that's written. I can't establish it because the Bible's true. Let me review something that we are. We're going to go to the classroom for about 2 or 3 minutes. My goal here is to relate to you what the Holy Ghost relayed to me in my personal walk with Christ. We got born again. What did we do to get born again? We had to what? Believe, right? We believe that Jesus was the Christ instantaneously. Something happened internally. The old man was annihilated. My name was written in heaven, and the power of darkness was loosed from me because the old man was annihilated. That's just truth. I went from death to life instantaneously. The Holy Ghost breathed the glory of God in me. Immediately, that old man was dead. And the body of sin instantaneously had no dominion over me. Amen? I say that to prove a point. We all have certain verses that we like. The whole Bible is glorious, from Genesis to Revelation. Amen? It's all glorious. Now, we all have our favorite verses that we quote, and we hold them a little bit more glorious because we stand on them and we quote them. Romans, I mean, somebody quote me a couple of verses from Romans, other than you, Kirsten. I don't know what you're going to say. Somebody quote me a verse from Romans 6, 7, and 8. Somebody. Okay, that's one. Okay, yes, that's good. That's exactly what I wanted. Anybody else? One more. Anybody? Same person again. I don't care. Don't be scared, Carl. Talk, boy. Okay. That's exactly right. That is exactly the answers that I wanted. Because that's what I quote. Knowing this, that all man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Henceforth, he should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Amen? We all like that one. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do anyway. I can go on and go on and go on. Probably all three of them back to back. And those are powerful. Those are powerful, powerful truths, as the whole Bible is. You know, as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, it was so we also should walk in newness of life. Yes, 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 yes. Wonderful, powerful verses. But this is the thing. We established, we went in reverse for about 2 minutes, and I relayed to you what Romans 6 is teaching me. See, Romans 6 is what I became. Whether I believed it or not, what qualified me to be born again is believing that Jesus was the Christ. Now, Romans 6, the only thing I had to believe was that Jesus was the Christ. Romans 6 happened to me. Romans 6 happened to you. The remarkable thing about the rebirth, you only got to believe that Jesus is Christ to be born again. I've been in Romans for so long looking for a deep, dark secret that I was missing. Digging and digging, maybe thousands of times, thousands of hours praying in the Holy Ghost. Just praying and praying and praying, looking for a deep, dark secret inside that chapter. Over and over and over again. To believe it. I was wrong. Don't stone me yet. Because we have to believe in Christ to be born again. Amen. Romans 6 is what happened to me and you. Inside and out. It's what happened to me and you. Now, I'm trying to pace myself to relay the mind of Christ to you. I would go over it. I have it memorized front to back, back to front, looking, praying for this certain thing that I was missing, and I was missing something. I thought I'm going to read it, believe it. Do you know when you get born again, instantaneously, something is written in your mind and in your heart, which is the Word of God. Instantaneously, Christ Jesus comes in and indwells your spirit. The Spirit of God lives in you. You with me? I know you are. This happens to me and you. Now, when that happens, there's also an unction inside of me. I don't have to believe there's an unction inside of me because there is. Whether I'm a Christian, Jesus, you are the Christ, I don't have to believe there's an unction inside of me because it happens when I believe that he is the Christ. Are you with me? Well, I don't believe it, and I didn't believe it, and I don't know if I believe it. I don't care what you believe. It's in you. It is in, there's an unction inside of you. This is where I was missing Romans 6. I knew something lived in me. This is what I was saying to myself. What am I missing, Lord? What am I missing? What am I missing here? Believed in Christ. Something was deposited inside of me. Born again spirit. Law of liberty. The unction and anointing according to 1 John. This was in me. So I was thinking that I was struggling in areas in my life because I didn't believe Romans 6. I believed that Jesus was the Christ. I didn't know at the rebirth what happened inside of me, but it still happened, whether I believed it or not. What we all believe when we're born again is our name is written in heaven. Yes, so true. But we get born again and the kingdom comes and indwells me and you, my friend, to make some noise here on this earth for the Father. So here's where I was stuck. I was stuck, I was stuck, and I was stuck. And we all have our glorious scriptures that we quote out of Romans. The same ones that you quoted, I quoted. But I never hear anybody quote this particular scriptures. You never do, because it doesn't sound glorious. It doesn't minister to us the way for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin. And that sounds glorious, man. So then I was meditating Romans 6 probably for 4 days. I can't tell you how many hundreds of times. Not to memorize, because I already had it memorized, but I was missing something. And I read this after going through Romans 6 over and over again. I read this and it just, and then I stopped. And I, for a day, stayed on two verses over and over again. Ye likewise reckon. Ye also reckon. Ye also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. Let not sin reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in its lust. If the writer told me to likewise reckon also myself to be dead into sin, somebody before me, before Paul, before the apostles, reckoned themselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Who do you think that person was? Come on now, that's an easy one. If the writer, Paul, took dictation from the Holy Ghost and gave us Romans, Paul tells me, listen carefully, not a trick question. Paul tells me to reckon myself also to be dead indeed unto sin. Paul reckoned this about himself, that he was dead to sin. The apostles reckoned this about themselves. Somebody before them reckoned this also. Who would that be? Wouldn't you think it'd be Jesus? Didn't you think Jesus had an understanding that he was here on a mission from the Father, completely dead to sin? You don't think Jesus also had the same mindset that we are to have? Same exact mindset that our Savior had. This is what got me. You likewise also reckon yourselves indeed dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Therefore, according to what? According to that verse and according to the verses before, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Now, we'll go back to that. As a born-again believer, this is the thing. Do I have an excuse if I die tomorrow? Living a lifestyle of fornication, do I have the excuse before heaven? Well, Lord, I read it and read it and read it, but I just couldn't believe it. So I died early in fornication. Do I have an excuse before the Savior? It sounds logical. We've said it a million times. I'm not doing it because I don't believe it. But would that excuse hold up in spiritual court? Would it? No. It would not hold up at all. Because if you're born again, something tells you not to fornicate. Amen? If you're born again, something tells you not to commit adultery. Amen? If you're born again, something tells you not to be a drunkard. If you're born again, something tells you not to walk in strife. If you're born again, something tells you not to be bitter. So if you know that it's wrong, if I know that it's wrong, is believing it the problem? No, it's not the problem. You know what the problem is? Do you know what the problem is to a born-again believer that has an unction, that has the word of God written in his heart and in his mind? It's not believing Romans 6. It's not believing Romans 6. It's obeying Romans 6. That's why the word of God is written in our hearts. It's not that we don't believe it because you know it's true because you know you shouldn't have done it. Believing is not the problem. Obeying it is the problem, my friends. That's what the Holy Ghost showed me. You're trying to believe it, believe it, believe it. No. Just obey it. That is the gospel of the kingdom. Just obey. He said, therefore, let not sin reign in your mortal body, that you may obey it and its lust. We didn't obey the gospel, but we obeyed something else, which was our mortal body. Listen to this now. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. There's no sin in your spirit. I knew something was wrong, and I'm not going to say names, and before God, there is no judgment. I'm going to repeat some things that people have told me. That's why I knew that I should have never departed from Romans 6, 7, and 8, because people in here have no concept of their freedom, and I didn't either to an extent. I've heard this, and I'm going to sit down. Okay, where am I? I'm going to sit down when I say this. I don't want nobody getting mad at me. There's no judgment in me at all. None at all. One person was, the person meant it with sincerity. They really did. They wanted help. They said, I can't stop hating. I can't stop hating. I don't know why. And they were in tears. They meant it. They wanted help. One of them said, I need to pray and fast more, but I know what they were defending. I'm not going to go into that. I know what they were defending. Another one with a serious, serious problem said the same thing. Yes, we got to pray and fast. Another one that makes so many bad decisions said, I just got to pray and fast more. Yes, you do. But anyway, you know where I'm going with this. One said, I'm so full of anger all the time. That's just who I am. When I hear them kind of things, it leads me to one thing. They don't know their freedom. They have not reckoned in their heart that they are dead to sin and alive to God. Every one of them wanted out. But they're part of something that has tormented them for so long that they feel it's who they are. Let me tell you, if the mortal body was who we are, then we would never be asked to crucify it. You are alive unto God, dead unto sin. Why? Because the Bible says you are. I don't care how many times you do something, it still does not disannul a truth that you are free. He said, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body and its lust. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body and its lust. That verse is surrounded by verses that acknowledge or tell us that we're what? Free. Over and over again, you almost get the impression that sin is obsolete. All the beautiful, glorious verses that surround that. Sin has no dominion over you. Now you're asked not to let it rule or reign in your mortal body. Okay, am I free or am I not free? Am I free or am I not free? People say, I just hate so much. Some say, I can't get away from the computer. Some say, I can't get rid of making these emotional bad decisions. Some say, I'm angry and can't get rid of it. That is not true. If you not being able to get rid of it, then the gospel is a lie. A complete fabrication. The same gospel, the same power that set me free from adultery set me free from bitterness. The same gospel that set me free from fornication is the same gospel that set me free from not walking in forgiveness. It's the same power, the same spiritual DNA. Here is the problem. Bible says, reckon. He said, come to a conclusion. Put a tombstone there, buddy. You're free. Put a tombstone there. It's settled in heaven. You are free. I don't care how many times you do it. You're free. Why? Because the gospel of the kingdom says that you are free. This is the problem. He said, reckon ye also yourselves indeed dead unto sin. Come to the conclusion, take inventory of yourself, and reckon and consider this. You are dead to sin and alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Savior. Reckon this. Tombstone. It's in concrete, buddy. You are saved. Your opinion means nothing. If you're born again, you are completely set free from sin. Well, then what's the problem? You're free from gossip. You're free from bitterness. You're free from clamor. You're free from backbiting. Why? Because you are dead to sin and alive unto God. I wake up in the morning. I say, Father, I'll stand up. I lift up my hands to heaven because I am alive unto you. The body of sin is not my daddy. But this is what got me here. Therefore, according to what I just stated prior. Now, let me tell you about something about sin. The Holy Ghost ain't going to take sin from you. It's like having a booger on your finger. What do you do with that booger on your finger? Ugh! Get away from me. Sin is your booger to flick, man. Flick it. It's your monster to take care of. Well, not even your monster, because your flesh is not who you are. It's what you wear. We're completely to mortify it. How do you mortify it? By living a spirit-led life. You remind yourself, the flesh doesn't cast out the flesh, my friends. It has a narrative, but it does not cast out itself. You wake up in the morning and you thank him. Out of your spirit, you remind yourself who you are. And through that reminding process and through that download, you defeat the body of sin. Don't get up and fight with the body of sin. Get up and worship the Lord. It's easy. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to look at it. No. Wake up and say, Father, I worship you. There's an empowerment inside of me, and I have been completely set free from sin and alive to my Father. The more I grasp this, the more I can see the miracles. The more I can see the outpouring of the kingdom. The more and more I can see it when I walk closer and closer to my conscience. Well, then what's the problem? There's freedom all around Romans, but sin seems to be dominating me. The most profound thing I've ever heard, and we're going to take it a little bit step further, is what Pastor Dave said. You sin because you wanted to. But yet I never saw, it might have been, but I never saw that statement in the Bible. I never saw it. I liked it. And I believed it because Pastor Dave said it. And he's the big dog, right? But then I got into the latter part of Romans 6, the middle part. He says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body to obey it. To obey it in its lust. Okay. So what lives, let's go to the classroom. So what lives in our mortal body according to what I just said? Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. You should obey this. What lives in my mortal body? Sin. What does sin want to do in my mortal body? According to what I just quoted. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lust. Okay, what lives in my mortal body? Sin. What does sin want to do in my mortal body? Can sin reign in your mortal body? Can it? How can sin that's in our mortal body reign in it? If you let it. If you let it. You steward the kingdom of God inside of you. You steward it. The only way sin can reign in your mortal body is you let it. If you don't let it, it can't reign. Therein is the kingdom of God, my friends. There's where it's at. We know not to fornicate. We don't fornicate. Well, we fornicate because, not because we don't, God, I'm struggling with believing. No. It's nothing to do with the struggle of believing it. You just don't want to obey it because it's pleasurable. I can't stop gossiping. I can't stop walking in bitterness. I can't stop walking in unforgiveness. Yes, you can. That junk doesn't live in your spirit. It lives in the body of sin. It lives in your mortal body. We're called to crucify that sucker. It's a matter of choice, man. A guy said, I got stopped for a DWI, and I prayed in tongues, and the cop let me go. You dummy. You dummy. I ain't gonna say God was in it. You just got lucky. Well, you know what? If that's the case, I'm gonna indulge in double arbor night, but I'm gonna pray in tongues. I'm not gonna gain weight. Why not, right? The cop saved him. I'm praying in tongues, saved him from the cop. It's false doctrine. You that have the Spirit of God, you that are dead to sin, positionally. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you may. Oh, how do you know when sin reigns in your mortal body? How do you know? No, the answer is inside of what I'm teaching. How do you know when sin reigns in your mortal body? When you obey it. 2 + 2 = 4. But we're so used, I am so used to certain things dominating me so much that I thought I just had to do them. I just thought I had to do them. But then Paul, through dictation from the Holy Ghost, writes something so simple, man. So simple. Do me a favor. Instead of waking up in the morning and fighting with sin, wake up in the morning and thank Him for that spiritual DNA. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do you not fulfill the lust of the flesh? Walk in the Spirit. Walk according to that new nature. Simple. I can't overcome sin. You're probably fighting sin with the body of sin. Obey the inner witness. Obey it. Obey it. Let Homer, Carl, Jacoby, let not sin, Rosie, Gay, let not sin reign. Homer, don't let it reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it. Sin wants to be heard. Sin wants to be obeyed. But since the old part of me that was spiritually dead, that held me in bondage to the body of sin, that ain't there no more. Spirit of God's in me, man. I'm alive unto God and dead unto sin. The first thing that we have to conclude is we didn't do it because we had a hard time believing Romans 6. You don't have to believe that you're set free from sin. You are, whether you believe it or not. Because you're born again, something happened internally. You just got to obey what lives inside of you. You just got to want it, man. And I'll tell you this. There are certain things that I used to fight, gnash my teeth, and most of the time I used to overcome them. There comes such a time, a place of liberty and freedom, where that thing gets easier and easier to overcome. Don't wake up and fight the flesh in the flesh. Wake up as a child of God. Good morning, Father. Forgive me. I know my breath is kind of stinks a little bit. But I want to tell you this morning, I want to thank you so much for my freedom. Nothing in this world has the power to make me give in to the body of sin. Nothing, Lord. There's obviously a choice if I've been told not to let sin reign in my mortal body. There's obviously a choice. And if there's a choice, I got to make the right choice. Trust me, it gets easier. It gets easier. It gets easier. Wake up. Reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin and alive. That's a great confession to wake up to in the morning. Father, I'm so alive unto you. I am so alive unto you. It's set in stone, Daddy. It is set in stone. There's a tombstone there that says that I'm dead. The old man that was in me, he's buried in there. I've risen from the dead with Christ Jesus. And that ain't talking about physical death, my friends, because I'm 50 years old and I've never died physically. That is a spiritual awakening inside of my heart. I've been born again. This will clear the way for the gospel of the kingdom. It's not that you don't believe it. Well, I don't understand it. I don't believe it. No. It has nothing to do with understanding and believing, and everything to do with obeying. Because that instruction comes out of you, whether you knew it or not at the rebirth. It came out. You didn't believe it. You didn't understand it. But those first 3 or 4 days when you got saved, they were a cakewalk. Because you obeyed them. You obeyed it. That's the problem. Not believing or understanding Romans 6. The problem is obeying Romans 6. See, you believed that Jesus was the Christ, and that got the unction inside of you. The unction instructs, and the unction instructs for being you to obey at all times, in all manner of conversation. Now, that is the gospel of the kingdom. You know exactly where you're at with God, how good and noble your heart is by keeping that you hear. You know how good and noble your heart is when you know to do right and you do it no matter what the circumstances. That's a noble and good. That's receiving the word in good ground, bearing fruit when your heart is good and noble, and no matter what devil in hell is facing you down, you're hearing it and you're keeping it and your light is shining because you got one agenda, and that is to reveal the Father. Now, done with Romans. You got 10 minutes in 1 John and we're out. If you're consistent in obeying your mortal body, you have no concept, or we have no concept of what it is to walk in love. Because walking in love is saying no to your mortal body and living alive unto God. If you can't walk out Romans 6, you're going to live a miserable life. Always mad. Never comprehending the joy of having God in you. Give me 10 minutes and we're out of here. Why am I teaching this? Because maybe I learned something from it as the Holy Ghost related to me. I've been trying to believe instead of doing. The word do not, obey, and obey not is written in the Bible a lot more than the word believe. Look it up. Now we believe the Father, that Jesus is the Christ. When that happens, we receive an unction that teaches. It teaches us what's right and what's wrong. Now we have to obey that unction. Amen? Because it's in us. Now, you'll never understand the love of God if you do not walk out and obey Romans 6. 1 John chapter 5. He that believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God. Listen to this now, catch this. God the Father and His Word are what? one. They're what? Can I disannul his word and still have fellowship with the Father? No. Why? Because they're one. Okay. We conclude, and we know, because we know how to read the Bible, that God is love. Almost done. We conclude, and we know, that God is love. If God the Father and his word are one, which they are, and we concluded that God is love, then what would that make the commandment? Love. See, I don't keep the commandment and walk in love thereafter. It works simultaneously. If the commandment is love and I keep the commandment, then I simultaneously walk in love. Because the commandment is love. By this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God, and we can say this, and keep his commandment, or we can say it like this, when we love God and keep his love. You know, are you with me? The commandment is love. If God and the commandment are one, then the commandment is love. And if I don't keep the commandment, I'm disannulling the love of God that was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Romans 5. Listen to this. By this we know, the beloved, love is not an emotion, my friend. Love can be feeding the hungry. But the biblical definition of love, it is not broad. So many preachers make the love of God out to be broad. No, no, no. The love of God is one thing. I don't care what your mama says, what your daddy, what your other church says. The love of God is one thing, that we keep his love. And his love is his commandment. And if I keep his commandment, I walk in love. Nothing else determines me and you walking in love by me and you keeping love, which is his commandment. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. That's simultaneous. Loving God, loving his commandment, and keeping it, that's simultaneous. That happens instantaneously. For this is the love of God. He tells us this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. What is a commandment? The love of God. So that makes the commandment what? Love. For his commandments, listen to this, are not burdensome, are not grievous. You know why his commandments are not burdensome? Do you know why? Because they're in us. We're born of his commandment. It's in us. It's, if I may, it's tattooed in our heart and in our mind. For his commandments are not... Now, if they weren't in you and you were an old covenant Jew, guess what would be a burden to you? But the commandments are not a burden to me and you, because they're in us, written in our heart and in our mind. We're free. Here on this earth, we reckon ourselves dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God. When I'm alive unto God, keeping his love is not a burden, because the love that we're to keep is inside. You got to grasp that now. Nothing else is love. Nothing else. I don't care what you say. I won't debate you, but nothing else describes love in the Word of God. Nothing else. You can feed the hungry till you're pink in the face, walk in disobedience, and still not walk in love. You can give your body to be burned and walk in hate until that moment, and you still won't walk in love. But you can't keep the commandment and not walk in love, because the commandment is love. You can't fornicate and walk in love. Attend church every week and fornicate or be a drunkard. No. You're not walking in love, because you're not keeping his love. His love is his commandment. That's why there's too many preachers that exalt themselves and are out there preaching with heaven not behind them. Just because you get a 97 in the school of theology, that doesn't qualify you to preach the gospel of the kingdom. a dead man or a dead woman is called to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Carrying their cross, having no agenda. But you won't fulfill 1 John till you obey Romans 6. And you'll walk in the love of God. Because you've concluded, I have no agenda. I have no agenda. But to reveal the Father. I have no agenda. And I'm not talking about revealing the Father in just word. That's easy. But if that's all we got right now, then so be it. I hate to say, it's about all I got right now. There's a progression in that love. And that's doing what Kirsten was doing. And doing what many of you do every day. The progression, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 40, some 60, 70, 80, 90, 100. That's what we're striving for. And nothing else. I'll finish with this. And I'm not going to exhort on it, just mention it to you. We have answered rightly for years. Have we not said for years that sin has no dominion over us? Have we not said it for years? We've said it for years. A certain lawyer, towards the end of Luke 10, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him. This is the parable of the Good Samaritan. A certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Lord, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus replies back, I forgot. Jesus replies back, what is written in the law? How do you read it? The lawyer stood up and said, to love the Lord your God with all your might, heart, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus replied, you have answered rightly. It doesn't stop there. But Jesus said, this do, and you have everlasting life. We have answered rightly for a long time. But the right answer, now we don't even answer rightly. The corporate body of Christ didn't even answer rightly anymore. We've answered rightly for a long time. Sin has no dominion over us. But Jesus told the lawyer, you have answered rightly. This do, and you shall live. This do, and you shall live. Reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin, and alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust thereof. What we are to do is obey Christ in us, the hope of glory. And the more and more that we walk closer to that conscience, hearing and keeping the gospel of the kingdom takes obstructions out of our eye, and we can see the need for an outpouring in this world. I have never seen and cried so much in my life over those in wheelchairs. I got one on the left of my house and one to my right. And my eyes are opening clearly to see the need for a manifestation of my Father in their life. I pictured me walking to one of their houses, say, hey, I'm not going to say the name, hey. And the way they talk, and it was just like so real to me. I said, hey, how you doing? Well, I'm doing all right. I said, do you believe that Jesus Christ can heal you? Well, do you believe Jesus Christ can heal you? Well, yeah, I guess. Well, I got something for you, my friend. I said his name. I said, arise out of that wheelchair. See, the more you hear and do the word of God, the more you can see. If you hear it and don't do it, you got an obstruction in your eye and you cannot see what God wants in this earth. But if you hear it and do it, the obstructions are leaving, my friend. You're not blind. Trying to lead the blind. You hear, you do, and you can see. See what God wants done, the fulfillment of his kingdom here on this earth. But it has to be without an obstruction. Luke 6. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. This is the part that got me. This is revival. This is revival. This is revival. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And listen to what he said. And your reward shall be great. Do you think that maybe loving our enemies and doing good and lending might have something to do with our outpouring if I'm going to receive a great reward in heaven? You think it might have something to do with it? I'm not content where I'm at. I cry. I dig the scriptures. I know my Father wants more. He wants it more than we do. He wants it more than we do. People think I'm a flake because of what I say. Let it be. Let it be. Wake up in the morning. This is the thing. You might not want to wake up in the morning and confess what I told you to confess. Well, I can't help you no more after that. Well, I didn't feel like it. I was under an emotional battle. Well, you know what? You ain't the only one, buddy. You ain't the only one. I can tell you what to do. The Bible can tell you what to do. But it's up to you to do. After that, there's nothing he can do. Nothing. Nothing. We've learned two things. That we steward how we live. And if we're going to walk in the love of God, we must walk in his love and obey his love, which is his commandment. This is the perfect ingredient for a manifestation of the kingdom of God. We often think that sin has no dominion over us. We often relate it to immoral stuff. No, it's from A to Z, man. It's from unforgiveness to bitterness. I think most of us here have conquered the immorality part, I'm sure. I would assume. Or you better hope you have. I'm sure we've conquered the immorality. I'm sure we have. Now let's go on and get rid of the bitterness, man. The clamor, the evil speaking. Let's take it to the next level. Let's get that little booger off our finger, man. It's your monster to conquer, man. It's yours. Live out of your spirit. Live out of your spirit. Wake up in the morning. Oh, here I am again, Father, dead to this world, and I'm so alive unto you through faith in Christ Jesus. I am alive, and I give you praise, glory, and honor. And I put on those things that are from above, tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, and bearing one another and forgiving one another. And above all else, putting on love, which is the bond of perfection. Wake up your morning saying things like that. Don't wake up in the morning and say, I'm not going to turn on the computer. With saying that, you probably are within an hour. Say, Father, I thank you. You've enabled me. Your grace, your empowerment in me gives me dominion. I worship you. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Seek those things which are above. Seek those things which are above because you're dead with him. Seek those things which are above. Seek those things which are above. Seek them. Find them and put them on and do them. This is our lifestyle. This is what we love to do. Let not sin reign in your mortal body. Sin wants to reign in your mortal body. But it cannot, because its dominion over you has gone bye-bye. But at the same time, if you let it, it will. Don't let it reign. Don't obey it. If you're going to obey something, let me give you a quick piece of advice. Obey the inner man. Things will go a lot better for you. Will you face a challenge? Yes. Yes. Well, wake up in the morning and seek those things which are above, which is the gospel of the kingdom. fill your thoughts and your mind early in the morning with the gospel of the kingdom. Reckon this. Concrete. Reckon this. You took an inventory of yourself. You took an inventory of the first 6, 7, 8 verses that led up to the verse that says, reckon yourself. You took an inventory of it. And you concluded this, because the Bible says this is true. You are dead. You are dead, 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 dead to sin, and alive unto God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You are dead. Amen. Glory. Glory. And let's take that, like Pastor said, we're going from change to charge. Kirsten charged. If she was going to get beat up by a 70-year-old lady, but that's okay. That's okay. That 70-year-old lady couldn't send Kirsten to hell. She's sealed, buddy. I heard a guy say, if I've already died one time, I'm not scared of death. I already died one time. Amen. Let me shut up. Hallelujah. Stand with me, please. Offering buckets, please. No distractions, man. No distractions. Amen. I am pouring a sweat. Glory. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time in you, Father. We thank you that we are absolute victors. Why, we ask? Because your word says so. We have to put more emphasis, Father, on obedience, Lord. I don't have to believe that I'm set free. I'm set free. All I have to do is obey my freedom. But the unction, it teaches us all things. It's in us, whether I believe it or not. It's in us. I don't have to understand it. All I got to do is obey it. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for the offering we're about to receive. We thank you, Father, that it's sown on good ground, Lord. Thank you for everybody that's here that's traveling. We pray angels round and about them, Father, protecting them, Father, stationed at every end and corner of their car. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.